Accession number 12824, Mr. G. Forster, Reel 6.
Mr. Forster, Reel 6. You'd been taken back, right back to Algiers.
Right back to Algiers.
On tubes.
On tubes at Algiers, yes.
So what was the next stage in your medical treatment?
I think when I was at Algiers, they started to give me fresh food. I started to get fresh food at Algiers.
But you hadn't had another operation?
No.
So
no.
The first operation, that was it, was it?
That was it.
So they actually fixed you up then?
There
in that
and then
tunnel.
In that tunnel. It was, I can remember in that tunnel that all masks on. It was a proper emergency hospital, actually. Big lights on and operating thing with a curtain around. I can remember that vividly, you know.
Did you realise how lucky you'd been? Because a lot of stomach wounds like
afterwards,
that...
Afterwards, yes. Yes, afterwards.
So you're starting to get food. Fresh food.
Fresh food, when I got to Algiers. And I think I was in Algiers about a week or 10 days. Till one morning, the orderly came and he said, you are lucky. Here's some clothes, and they gave me a battle dress, socks, boots, and they kitted me out again. And in the afternoon, they came for me and took me to a boat. And it was an Irish hospital ship.
Now, were you up and about? I mean,
no.
You were bedridden?
No, I was bedridden. Evidently, they told me that it was too hot for my wounds to heal. And they put me on this hospital ship, and it was full of people with gangrene, and you name it, legs off, arms off. And I was aboard about 6 hours, I think, and it set sail. From Algeria, out to sea, and next thing I knew, we're docking in England.
Whereabouts?
Avonmouth, which must have been near Cardiff somewhere. Avonmouth, because it took us, we docked on the boat, we came off the boat. They transported us to a station, railway station, and from the railway station, they on the hospital train it was, and it took me to Cardiff Emergency Hospital, and the ward was full of First Army casualties, and I think I stayed there. Oh, 5 or 6 weeks.
Were you satisfied with the sort of treatment you got?
Yeah, well, I suppose so. It was better than being dead. So I couldn't grumble. When I got to Cardiff, after being in Cardiff about a month, and of course we saw the doctors every day and everything, you got the best of treatment because it was a military hospital. The wing was, walking about the ward for about a week. And then they said, you can go out if you want, to, you know, for a walk round. And we used to walk round. And then they came and said, you come from Newcastle? I says, yes. I said, Newcastle-on-Tyne. They said, because the new scheme, we're going to send you to a hospital near home. So after 2 days or 3 days, Cain says, yes, you're going home. This is the hospital. And I can remember looking at it. I says, where's this? He says, Newcastle. He says, Newcastle? I says, and it was Newcastle on the Lyne. So they had to cancel that and get in touch with the hospital at Newcastle on Tyne. And funny enough, they sent me to a hospital right 100 yards from where I lived. 100 yards. And I was there about 5 weeks. And then they sent me from there, sent me on convalescence.
What state were you in by now?
Improving. I could walk with sticks at that period, because I was bent double, you know. And I could walk with sticks. And they sent me to Ford Castle, near Berwick-on-Tweed. It was a convalescence for troops. And you did physical training, light. It was all light. And I think I was there about 3 weeks there. And then they posted me to Halifax, 105 MCD. Halifax.
What does MCD stand for? Sorry.
Medical Convalescence Depot. And then they graded. Graded you and give you 105 MCD, Halifax. And that was on March, April, May. That was right. 3rd of May, they graded me from C1, from A1 to C1.
That's in
1944.
Yes. And how did you feel about? I mean, had you wanted? Did you think you'd ever be sent back into action? I mean, did you want to be sent back into?
Well, when I got regraded, it was a non-combatant grade. Anything below B1, usually the chaps that got B1 and they got flat feet and things like that, and they were given menial jobs in different company offices and things like that. But C1, they didn't. That was non-combatant, whatever.
Had you hoped to be able to get back to your unit?
Well,
or had you had enough?
I'd had enough by then. And as I say, I knew I couldn't go back to Durham Light Infantry, back in Algeria, in Tunisia. So after being at Halifax, got graded, and they decided I could be posted. So they posted me to Nottinghamshire, to Northern Command Infantry Depot at Wotton, which is 2 miles down the road.
How do you spell that? Sorry.
W-H-A-T-T-O-N. And I was there a few months.
What were you? I mean, that was a posting. What were you meant to be doing there?
It was a depot. Waiting of a posting for something or other, wherever they thought you're capable of doing.
And what would you do? How did you spend your days?
Oh, you were. Funny enough, you did picket, fire pickets, and barrack room Work. In general, you did kit inspections.
What, got your kit ready for them, you mean, or inspected other people's?
No, you went out on the square and tipped your kit bag out and checked everything to see you had all your socks and your boots and what have you.
Doesn't sound like there's that much to do.
There wasn't a lot to do, no. I mean, you're freed at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock every night.
Were you able to do any sort of military training at all? Or
no.
I mean, you're non-combatant.
No, that's right. No military training I didn't do. Some of them did.
And how were you in yourself? I mean...
Well, while I was at Wotton Camp, I was still under the MO, still under the medical, and every morning, because I was suffering from a bad stomach then, and I used to go to first aid and get me milk. I used to have milk on the morning.
What was wrong with your stomach?
Well, it was perforated abdomen.
So it just hurt?
That's right, and they used to give you milk to put a lining on your stomach. I was there quite a bit.
Had you lost weight or...?
Oh, I lost weight, definitely. Yeah. The food was very good at Wharton Camp.
Were you allowed to eat what you wanted?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. No problem with the food at Wharton. You could eat what you want. I was in there.
But your health allowed you to. That's
right.
You weren't on a restricted diet.
Oh, no. Not then. And from there I was posted. After a few months, I had a posting to Bradford. To the barracks, it was a grammar school, actually, at Bradford. And the army had taken it over for incoming recruits.
And do you know what it was called?
Manningham Lane. It was Manningham Lane Grammar School, actually. Unfinished grammar school. It hadn't been finished, the army had commandeered it.
And it was a recruits depot?
Brought recruits in.
And which regiment was running it, or was it just a...
It was just all sorts of regiments. There was all types of regiments, infantry. There was artillery people there, but most of they used to do rifle parades and marching, because raw recruits were doing a 12-week training. And I was on permanent staff there.
And what were you on the staff to do?
Well, I was on the maintenance side.
What did that involve?
Well, repairing beds.
Now that's from you being a carpenter.
That's right. So I was repairing bunk beds, etc. Down there, and unfortunately, after I'd been there a couple of months, my mum died, and I applied for permission leave for the go. No problem. I got permission for the go. Got a pass and away I went. Came back, and I think it was 2 months later, my brother was killed. And I again applied. I got a telegram.
Where was he killed?
He was in England. He's in the Royal Artillery, in the lanyard. The lanyard off the gun. It wrapped round his midriff and ruptured his spleen. And he died in a military hospital. Anyway, I applied for leave again for the funeral, and never got any answer. And within 3 days, I kept going and asking the company commander, an adjutant had any word come through. Okay, it was getting very, very close to D-Day expectancy. It says, no leave, no leave. However, I decided I was going to leave. And I told the company commander, I said, if it's not, the funeral's tomorrow, if there's nothing, if I don't get me leave, I'm just going. And I went. Small pack, and I went.
Did they try and stop you?
No. Because I was living in the court martial department, and there was only a lance corporal there with me. And he went interested, sort of thing.
Where were you actually living? Sorry, at the grammar school?
No, I was living on number one Oak Avenue.
So in billets?
In Manningham Lane, in a private house.
So you could just leave any time you liked?
I had a key, just leave the there's only three of us lived in there, and the rest was offices. Downstairs offices are for court martials. And as I say, I went and got to South Shields, went to the funeral. The military were there, his colleagues and an officer. And went to the funeral, and they said, well, they had to come straight back that day. So I said, right, I'm coming back with you as far as York. Got on the train, came back as far as York, and from York I had to get to Bradford. The train now standing in platform so-and-so is Bradford. So I walked across, and just as I got to the train, the military police stopped me. Where's your pass? Says, I haven't got one. So he took me pay book, checked it. Right, okay. He says, we'll have to report you. So when I got back, I told the orderly corporal that I'd been caught. And he said, oh, have you got a paper from him? I says, yes. He says, put on the captain's desk. And I put it on his desk, and unfortunately, it must have got mislaid. Because after fortnight, they rang down to where I was, and the captain quartermaster said, Captain Booth's been looking for you. I said, oh, yes. He says, will you report back up to the office? So I went up there, and he says, why? He says, why didn't you tell me you'd been caught by the military police? I says, I did. I haven't got any record of it, he says. He says, well, I put the thing on your desk when I got back. Well, I haven't got it, he says. However, I absent without leave would say it was offence. But somehow I didn't go in front of the CEO. I went in front of the company commander, this Captain Booth. And I got 7 days CB. Tell you what, 7 days CB. And one day stoppage of pay.
How did you feel about that?
Well, a bit annoyed. Very, very much annoyed, actually. But I didn't realise then that... I didn't realise at the time that... It was getting so near D-Day. Hence, that was why his leave was stopped. About 3 days later, I got a posting back to Wotton Camp. rather in disgrace. Came back into Wotton Camp, and I think I was there about a fortnight, if not less. And I was posted to London. Posted to Lewes. And it was all under tents. There was the Free French, the Free Everybody. The Polish regiments were all under canvas in about 6 or 7 fields. And of course, they went. And I stayed there for 3 or 4 more days.
Who had you been posted to? I mean, what was this?
I was just posted to this, no regiment.
It was a camp at
just
Lewes.
Just a camp at Lewes,
prison.
Yes. No, near Lewes prison.
Near Lewes prison.
It was a, I couldn't tell you what sort of camp it was, but I know.
Just some sort of transit camp.
Similar, yeah. There was about 12 or 14 of us came from one camp there. And as I say, they stayed there for a while, a couple of 3 days, and the D-Day came, and off these Polish regiments went, Free French went. I was still there with, then they formed a detachment, and about, I should imagine it was D plus 4, D plus 5, that we went. We went with the Canadian. We went with the Canadians. Canadians were army. Canadian army. They were going as reinforcements. I was informed that I was going to help with a civil population, being a non-combatant, to help the civilians. However, got there, Normandy.
Do you remember the trip across? You just went, were you on your own on this
trip?
Oh,
no, no, there was...
The 14 of you, or whatever it was.
There was about 6 of us, and the Canadians were on. There was other personnel on. There was a boat full, MTB or whatever it is. And we landed at Arromanches. Just as we were coming into Arromanches, we passed the boat towing the bridge, the landing bridge. They were almost at Arromanches by then, and we went in ashore and reported to this transit place. And I ended up on the road between Arromanches and Beaulieu, stopping traffic, about 6 of us.
Why?
To check, to see traffic coming ashore. That was coming ashore, were rations, to see there was no ladies or the Yanks, because they were mostly Yanks, the coloured lads, black Yanks, and there was quite a few English and white Yanks. Ammunition trucks coming ashore, but they come from England, and they were a bit worried about bringing their girlfriends. And we used to have to check the vehicles. Night and day, we're on shifts. Night and day, stop them with the red lamp and check the vehicles, and that was it. And after about,
where are we living?
In a tent on the roadside, 6 of us, and there was a full corporal in charge of us. What, about 6 days there on the roadside, and then...
Did you find any girlfriends?
No. Never found anything.
So it's a bit of a waste of time.
Well, actually, yes, it was. It might have been someone in the transit camp had a bright idea of deploying some blokes that they didn't really want with them, being No equipment, anything.
So it's a bit of job creation.
Well, that's right. After the invasion troops got further up, we automatically moved up, not doing anything specifically.
Did your unit have a name, or were you attached to anybody that
you
knew?
No, just a transit camp personnel sort of thing. Didn't even know who was in charge of us.
And you didn't know the name of the transit camp?
No. And
so you were still DLI as far as
still
you were?
Still DLI. I think there were some other regiments. Warwick's, I think one chap was. And
amongst the six?
Among the six of us, are all different regiments. We'd all been sent over to do the same job, sort of thing, look after the civilians, but we never got round to that. Anyway, as the troops started to move towards Belgium, we followed up from one transit camp to another till...
Were you actually doing any of this work with the civilian population?
No, not a thing. Just in a transit camp, and they just come shouted your name out, that you're moving further back up. And the next thing...
So you weren't doing any real duties at all?
Nothing at all. No, nothing at all. And the next thing I knew, were sent to Bruges. When they got into Belgium, went through Lille, and went into Bruges, and were in the barracks at Bruges. And...
How many of you? Still the six, or...?
Oh, yeah, but there was lots and lots in the Bruges. It was full of men, the barracks were. There must have been 500 men of all regiments, all sorts of regiments.
So what were you doing during this time? I mean, how did you spend
Not a
the
lot.
Days? What were you, I mean, what
just,
did...
Well, right, they might give you a job to sweep the barrack room floor where you're sleeping. And that was it.
You weren't using your carpentry at all? Or?
No, nothing like that, no.
How did you feel about this sort of... I mean, you'd been badly wounded, and now you were almost wasting your time. Would you rather they'd put you out of the army, or did you want to be out of the army?
No, way? Not better. I really enjoyed travelling up the line. I thought, I don't know where I'll end up here. In Germany, I suppose, if they get as far as that.
So you were quite happy?
Oh, crikey, yes. And as I tell you, when I'd been in Bruges about 3 days, when they broke through the Ardennes.
So that was December 44?
It had to be, yes. Can't remember the date. When they broke through into the Ardennes. And this sergeant major, outside all infantry, we're on the loud hailer, and I went down, and he said, "What regiment are you?" I said, "Durham Light Infantry, but I'm graded, non-combatant," and he just wouldn't listen. "Get on that truck. Get your kit and get on that truck." And I tell you, I ended up at somewhere in the Burg Leopold area.
In the where?
Burg Leopold, I think. I can remember going through Burg Leopold en route to this place. And when I got there...
You wouldn't have full infantry kit, though, anyway.
No, I didn't have anything. I just had what I stood in a haversack.
A small haversack?
Yeah. With what kit I had, I wanted, you know.
Because you couldn't have carried full haversack,
no.
I presume, if you see one.
Well, I hadn't got any equipment.
You couldn't tie the belt.
I hadn't got any, I hadn't any pouches. Or.
Was your stomach still hurting you?
Not particularly. No, it wasn't.
Could you literally not put any strain on it in case it damaged it? Or what was it?
That's right. The MO said no equipment.
And that
must not wear a belt.
In case it did
in
what?
In case it did any damage.
Inside?
Yes.
So you were in this truck going up to rethink Burg Leopold.
Yeah, in the Burg Leopold, the officer that was with us, he said they'd broken through the Ardennes. When I got there, the sergeant major said, "Where's your kid?" I says, "I'm going, I told you." He says, "Oh." I said, "I told you, and you told me to get on this vehicle." So he said, "Oh, all right. Can you make tea?" He says, "Suppose I can." He says, "Well, help him." And it was ACC, Army Catering Corps Sergeant. And they were making tea. And I stayed there for, I think it was 2 days. 2 days, and you could hear the shelling and that. From the artillery, and he said after 2 days
he didn't come under fire though.
No. After 2 days, he came to me. He says, "You're going back on this vehicle." So I sent back to Bruges.